Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And we're welcoming back Jen Peterzelka. Happy to have you back here on the show, Jen.
Good morning, everybody.
Well, we're finally seeing some cooler temperatures here in El Paso. And it's about time, Denise, you were saying before the show that you heard on the news the other day that October is now officially the driest, warmest October we've seen in probably recorded history.
Exactly. So it wasn't just us feeling the heat. It was actually record zero precipitation in the month. So
wow.
I think for a lot of folks, they kind of had this long extended fall. And I don't know what kind of winter we're going to have. Some of the models have been predicting that we're going to have a mild winter. You know, it's always kind of difficult to guess, you know, where we're at. And we go by historical data. We look at recorded or estimated freeze dates in our time. And we're soon approaching that. Believe it or not, you know, November 15th is historically our first killing freeze, which means that it goes below, of course, 32 degrees Fahrenheit, but it goes for an extended amount of time, enough to kill that tender vegetation. So we'll see how close we hit that date this year. We always kind of give ourselves a buffer of plus or minus 2 weeks. So we're definitely within that time frame right now. But it's going to be interesting to see how our winter sets the tone for what we're going to deal with in the spring, believe it or not. You know, we always look several seasons ahead. So it's time to start thinking about it and being a little proactive is what's going on in your garden.
Even though I think, you know, sometimes you do have some weird weather events that are very short term. Like I remember that freeze that we had, what, about 6 years ago, mm-hmm. when temperatures were below zero for a very long time. And I remember just a few days later, temperatures were increasingly warmer and warmer until we were like in the 60s or 70s. You know, I don't know exactly how temperatures will average out or whether we will have these unusual weather events that probably can't be predicted. Again, we're just going to have to wait and see and just watch the weather.
Right, exactly. And, you know, as much as we start to look and plan, you know, we just want to make sure that we look at things that are close when we are getting close to a freeze, because that's when we need to protect our outdoor plants and our pets and our pipes. We don't want to have any kind of water damage. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of folks, including myself, suffered some water damage when we had that big freeze. So it's a point right now to be a little cautious, but still optimistic that we're finally transitioning into a much milder area, climate.
That means it's a really good time for planting. I know in my own home, I'm thinking about tons of succulents out there in the backyard. And some of them are pretty cold tolerant, but most of them are not. So I'm trying to plan, you know, where am I going to put everything? How am I going to cover? Sheets are wonderful. There's different kinds of garden cloth that you can use to protect your things from the cold. But because we don't know when that freezes, you really want to be proactive and prepared so that, you know, keeping an eye on the weather, of course. And I think it's important, like you said, when we had the big freeze, we were down below zero for like over 72 hours. And that's when, you know, people say, oh, gosh, it got down to 32 degrees this morning, but maybe only for a half an hour or an hour. And that makes a difference, too. So it's that prolonged freeze that really can be damaging. So you've got to be prepared for that.
Right. But in the meantime, I mean, definitely, I kind of welcome the cooler temperatures.
Amen.
I really prolonged planting my fall vegetable garden this year because it was so hot, you know. And I still have tomatoes growing right now. I'm going to have a lot of green tomatoes at this point. But I finally got the spinach, lettuce into the beds, and I'm just waiting for it at this point because, you know, it won't do anything. I keep on sprinkling it and watering it, but they haven't sprouted yet. And sometimes a lot of these seeds will just sit there and they won't sprout or germinate until those conditions are favorable. So don't give up, you know, especially when you look at things. Greens will do that. Carrots also take a long time, about to 14 days to be able to sprout. So, you know, don't give up on them. And there's still a chance to put in that fall garden and be a little tardy like me, but it'll be okay.
And it's also a good time for some fall herbs. It's a perfect time. You know, cilantro is very, very popular here in El Paso. And at our greenhouse, we had a experience where we planted some cilantro seeds and they just did not germinate. And I've decided that we did them way too early. They need that cooler weather, and they do very well with just a direct sow. And also, I think with wildflowers, this is still a good time to toss out some of those wildflower seeds. And especially if we think we're going to have some rain, you know, that's been forecast, and that's a great time because, you know, you won't see it now, but come spring, you're going to see all these little beauties pop up, and they are wonderful.
I'm already starting to see blue bonnets popping up all over my yard, and I know perhaps other people might have some concerns that, oh my gosh, my wildflowers are already coming out of the ground because they had sown from the last year's crop. So just don't worry about it. They're just going to stay nice and small, and then, like you said, when the conditions are right, that's going to be their cue to come back up in the spring.
Exactly.
That's why they're wildflowers.
That's right.
And the return on that is just, you know, very little work.
Yeah.
And don't be trying to plant little bitty seeds because, for one thing, they're minuscule. And you can even add a little sand in a salt shaker and sprinkle them out in your garden.
And season your yard. Yeah.
Exactly. See, that's a really good point. No, season your yard and then water them in and hope and pray for some good rain come January, the end of January. And that's what feeds our poppies out on in the Northeast. So
exactly.
Keep our fingers crossed.
Well, I've been seeing some trees already turning in the area, and I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, but it's not cold enough. Maybe there's something wrong with my trees. Why are they turning yellow? But I don't think it's so much that trees are responding to the temperatures, right? They're responding more to the daylight hours.
Yeah, some plants are really photosensitive, so they will be triggered to start another season, if you will, depending on daylight length. So that's an important thing to look at. But at this point, if our conditions stay mild, we should get some nice fall color. Your Chinese pistache may get to the point where it turns that really beautiful red color instead of dropping all of its leaves. I mean, you know, even if you think about it, even a lot of our ash trees have some great red color, if not yellow, depending on the type of ash that you do have. So, yeah, I mean, I'm just looking forward to that because we do have a very small window of time where we can get a potential fall color, but it's good to be able to hold on to that. So, and as far as your perennials as well, you know, the mooly grass, a real fine textured, a clumping grass.
Like a nice little cloud of purple.
Yes,
beautiful.
Exactly.
Wispy.
It is very wispy. So take advantage of that and look at that. Those ornamental grasses, those native grasses do really well in our area. You don't have to have certainly a traditional lawn planted, but you can have some nice grass, if you will, that are more appropriate to our area. And then the seed heads also feed the wildlife too. So, you know, it's just, you know, returning your investment.
And I think too, a thing to remember is that there's certain ornamentals that do very, very well here in the winter. Snapdragons and pansies and the little miniature pansies, the violas
The Johnny Jump Ups.
Johnny Jump Ups, you know, different names for different folks. Dianthus and the flowering kale. They're just really good, beautiful plants to plant right now. But I would remind everybody that if you do go to the nurseries, make sure that you check your plants. Don't just pick them up and say, oh, I'll take this one. You know, you kind of hold them up. Look for hitchhikers. Make sure you're not bringing home something that you don't want to have in your garden because they might be on your kale and the next thing you know, they're everywhere. So be very judicious about plant selection when you purchase them from any of the nurseries. And it's a great way. You know, it's maybe some of your containers are looking kind of sad. So fill in with those things. Snapdragons, and there's all sorts of new cultivars. I know Denise had shared one with me that lasted the entire summer of all things, and it is just gorgeous right now. So there's all sorts of color that you can put in your garden in addition to those. And the pistache trees Denise mentioned, there's a bunch of them that ring the rose garden out there on Copia, and they are gorgeous in the fall. They're just beautiful. So,
oh, well, speaking of the Rose Garden, they are going to be open to the public until the end of the month, and the roses are still looking great.
Yeah, absolutely. The Rose Garden, to me, in the fall is, you know, right behind that spring bloom. The fall bloom is like, it's like, ooh, let me give it one more shot before before it gets cold. And, of course, like you said, we'll go through the end of November, and then we'll still be working diligently over there, especially in January when we'll start pruning 1,750 roses. It's a bunch. Right? It's a labor of love, believe me.
It's a year long.
It is. It's constant.
Yes,
it's
investment.
Constant, but it's well worth the effort that you put into it. So you still have time to stop by the Rose Garden before
It gets too cold.
We shut down for the summer. Winter. That's the other season, yeah. Exactly.
Well, we don't want to forget to water our trees, going back to the topic of trees, because I know usually we're going to start cutting back on our irrigation now that we're seeing the weather getting cooler, so you don't have to water your grass as much. But you don't want to completely cut back on watering your trees. What you want to maybe stay on a monthly deep watering schedule, once a month, perhaps through the winter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. It's about getting that water to intercept into the roots and to be able to go and percolate through the soil profile. That's the most important thing. You want to keep those roots hydrated. Even though the plants are going to be going dormant and they won't be actively growing, you still want to make sure that those roots are insulated and hydrated. And that's for the plants to be able to retain that moisture and that health, so that when they do have that first flush of growth in the spring, they'll be able to put that out without being stressed. Because it does take a lot of energy to be able to have those that first leafing out of a plant.
And going back to that freeze that we had, many of the trees that suffered were because they had not been perhaps watered well enough. So
yes.
I think if we do have any sort of hard freeze like that coming up in the winter, you might want to make sure that your trees
are well watered. Yes. And it's really a long-term plan on that. And we've seen that all the time in a lot of trees. And you start seeing it in public areas. You see a lot of issues with trees and they get transplanted and they're removed because they don't do very well. And because a lot of that has to do with being drought stressed. And the fact is that a lot of times the irrigation scheduling is geared for the turf grass and for the lawn and not so much for the trees. Mm-hmm. So the trees only are able to intercept when you're watering for turf grass. Well, you're talking about 4 inches of roots for grass as opposed to 18 inches of roots. So there's just no way that those trees are going to get enough water. And as a result, you see that branch dieback. You start seeing insects or borers start invading the plants as well. And that's all due to this compounded stress issue on there. So it's really important to always have that long-term range planning for your irrigation. I always say it doesn't matter what kind of situation we are as far as drought. Priorities is always should be your trees. Those are going to be your more permanent fixtures in your lawn. If you have to not have a good lawn 1 year or, you know, not your vegetable plants or your perennial flower beds not so good, you always want to invest in your trees and you just can't go wrong with that.
Well, here in our final moments, we just want to let everybody know that the Master Gardener Help Desk is going to be closing here in a couple of weeks, right?
Yes. So we won't have it regularly staffed, but if you still have a question for the Master Gardeners, make sure you leave them a message or always visit us on our homepage, on our website, or also if you like us on Facebook, we'll be able to answer your questions there. So we're not going anywhere. We're just kind of closing down and pulling some volunteers off to other things because our interest, you know, in general, we don't see a lot of interest in gardening during those holiday seasons. So, but rest assured, we're here and able to answer your questions in a lot of different ways.
And you guys are easy to find online. Just enter El Paso Master Gardeners into your search engine and you'll be good to go.
Exactly. And you can catch us on the live show coming up here.
Oh,
pretty soon.
We do. I believe next week we have a live
That's
show.
Right.
So get your questions ready. You got 15 minutes to ask, and we got 15 minutes to answer.
The lightning round of
That's
questions.
That's right. We need a bell. Ding. Well, we want to thank you, Jen Federzelka, again for joining us on today's show.
Well, thank you, Norma. It's always fun to be here.
We want to thank Felipe Talavera for engineering today's show and Evan Walsh for producing it. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.